of the mind.
Welcome to Infinite Consciousness Tonight. This is Eva Herr. Thanks for listening. Before we get started, I also want to remind you that I have a new book out, and it's called Consciousness, Bridging the Gap Between Conventional Science and the New Science of Quantum Mechanics. You can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or you can email me and get a copy directly from me. It's 11 different interviews with scientists, all of who have been on this radio show, about the topic of consciousness. What is it? And how do you really use it to change your life? What's the real story? Anyway, tonight we have with us Stephen Ross, who is the co-founder of the World Research Foundation, and who has one of the largest libraries on alternative medicine that there is. And he even has a very interesting microscope that I'll let him tell you about. How are you, Stephen? Thanks for taking time to come on my show tonight.
I wanted to thank you for having me on your show this evening.
I'm actually so excited. I mean, I had you on my other radio show last week, and we talked about your new book, And Nothing Happened. But tonight, where you sent me a light machine and a book called Let There Be Light, and I'm actually kind of blown away by it. And I thought when you told me that you had a light machine that you just shined light on you, but it's so much more to it than just shining a light on you. It, you know, talking about the nostrils and the breath and the certain time that you're supposed to do it and what all of these things can do for your body. So if you don't mind, I'd like for you to tell us a little bit about you, where people can find you, and then let's talk about light, if that's okay.
All righty. I am co-founder of the World Research Foundation, which our mandate is to gather information on every form of health therapy that we can identify around the world and from ancient times to the present. So in our facility here, we gather everything from chemotherapy to cow dung therapy. And I'm not being facetious here, Eva, but cow dung therapy goes back several thousand years in India. Our purpose is not to push or endorse any particular therapy, but to let people know what all of their options are for 350 different diseases and illnesses. I have been doing this now for nearly 40 years. I began because of a athletic injury, and the experts told me I'd need to have surgery or I could never run again. But I opted for a therapy that I had heard about coming out of Russia in 1968, rectified my own knee problem, and that year finished fifth in the United States for my sporting event in college. It planted a seed for me what other things exist in this world that we're not being informed about in the United States. And as a result of a curiosity and a hobby, it ended up as one of the reasons why we founded World Research Foundation. So we're coming from the position of not pushing anything in particular, but letting your listeners know what various options might exist in the world.
Well, thank you, because that's exactly what this radio show is about. And where can people find you?
Well, we are located on the internet at www.wrf.org, and it is World Research Foundation, or we can be reached at 928-284-3300. That location is in Sedona, Arizona. Our library here has about 30,000 volumes dating back to the 1400s. And I would like to pop this in, that some of our past advisors have been the chairman of the Nobel Assembly in Sweden, head physician for NASA's first several space programs, the German representative to NATO. So we're more than just a data gatherer. We have a foot in each world, the standard allopathic medicine, as well as more, let's say, complementary type approaches.
And before we get started, I'd like for you to tell the people what microscope you have. because so many people are fascinated by that microscope and talk about it. And honestly, I had no idea that it was still around. And some of my friends that I've since told were in disbelief that it was still here. What microscope?
Yes. You would be referring to the Rife microscope. And the Rife microscope was an unusual microscope that was actually first built in the 1920s. At that time, it was 10 times more powerful than any other microscope in use at that time. And even today, it would be considered very much more powerful than what is being used in standard research. By that, I mean, even though people have heard of what's called the electron microscope, you cannot look at live specimens through an electron microscope because the specimens are put in a vacuum. They're bombarded by electrons. So most of the research done in the world is done with microscopes that magnify 1,800 times. Well, imagine that the Rife microscope magnified 60,000 times, and it was built in the 20s. An incredible device with 5,500 moving parts. Now I'm going to jump ahead a little bit, Eva, and tell you why you have not, or most people have not, heard about it. And the reason is, through this particular microscope, any virus, bacteria, a microorganism glowed in its own unique color. The cancer virus, tuberculosis, hoof and mouth disease, any microbe virus associated with these diseases or illnesses had its own unique color that only the Rife microscope illuminated because of its unique counter-rotating prisms. Wow. Color is a rate of vibration. Once you know a color, you can narrow down its vibratory rate that makes that color. Now these scientists, these doctors who used this incredible Rife microscope, who were they? E.C. Rosenau, Mayo Clinic, Arthur Kendall, Northwestern University, Lewells Barker, John Hopkins, very prestigious clinics. They, once they knew the frequencies of these diseases, and let's narrow it to cancer, they then applied the same frequency of that color to that virus and instantly destroyed it, much the same as when a note is hit, a glass will break. Well, the frequency destroyed every cancer cell in that organism instantaneously. So this right
is it light or does it actually have to be a frequency?
It's a radio. The frequencies were in the more of the radio wave frequencies, and the frequencies were broadcast through an argon gas tube. But I think what's most thrilling or interesting about this is that all the viruses at that frequency in the body were instantly destroyed. I am very aware of what happened.
Why we're not using this today, but I'm going to.
Yes.
Why are we not using this today?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear
yes.
me?
Yes.
Why are we not using, and why are we not using this today?
We're not using it today because the pharmaceutical industry does not like something that works in the area of physics.
Oh, no.
Being very blunt here, because when you have prestigious doctors of this magnitude and they made a discovery, why wouldn't it be in use? The reason I'm familiar with why not is because I have 500 personal letters of all of the doctors from the 20s, 30s, and 40s, and we know exactly where the pressure was coming from.
Well, I knew you were going to say that, and I could spend the next hour talking about that, but I know I'll just get upset about it. So all I can say
Well, I never want to get people upset because there's always hope in the world.
Yes. write your congressman, write your representatives, and tell them that you want clean medicine. That's what I tell people to do.
Well, do you have any other suggestions? It helps. These are pharmacies, yes.
Is that what you suggest?
I suggest that people increase their awareness that these things exist and start questioning the TV commercials where the side effects on these drugs are worse than the original problem.
I totally agree. Okay, so I'd really love to talk about this light machine. Like I said, I thought it was going to be just something where I pulled it out and put a color in and that was it, but it's so much more to it than that. So if you could talk about full spectrum illumination for a moment, remembering that we only have like 40 minutes left, and I'd like to get into cover the things that we must take into consideration when we use it, like the nostrils and the time that we use it and the time of the day and the time of the month and things like that, and then talk about the kinds of things we can do with it and where we can get one of these things.
Did you say you have 4 hours left?
40
let's
minutes.
Start this way. Color therapy was first used by Pythagoras around 550 BC, so the use of color and frequency is not anything that's new. In fact, when I'm making presentations to medical doctors and they have kind of a quizzical look, I ask them what is used for infant liver syndrome, premature babies with yellow jaundice, and they'll say, oh, yes, well, we put them under a blue light, and if they are not put under that light, there's 100% fatality. So color therapy has a long history. Albert Einstein won a Nobel Prize for the photoelectric effect, where he proved that every color is a specific frequency and it has an effect. So color has a very strong scientific background to it. Now, the use of color has been used by many different cultures, but one individual named Dinshaw Gadiali from India developed a 12-color system that I believe is the most profound throughout history. At one time, there was over 500 U.S. doctors using the same color therapy system, Eva, that you are mentioning at this moment, 500 medical doctors. They were asked to stop doing it by the AMA back in 1926, but no reason was given. The AMA, American Medical Association, just said, we don't want doctors using color. Now, this color is the visible light spectrum, and it is basically the colors that you see, but very specific colors for very specific problems.
And now this spectrochrome machine, do you know where we can get one?
Actually, we have, you received one from World Research, but anybody can use any light source, because I don't want to make it sound like we are pushing our particular product. Any particular light source, Albert Einstein's Nobel Prize proved that you could use a 5-watt bulb or a 500-watt bulb, put it behind a particular color, and the energy from the color is going to be the same. So it's the frequency of the color and not the light source. So if people have the correct color filters, you can use any light source. But if they want to contact World Research, we can certainly give them more information about this specific unit that you have.
And I would just like to say that we are not trying to treat or diagnose anyone, that this information is exactly that information, so that you can make more intelligent decisions about how you address your health issues. No one's trying to treat
diagnose. Thousands of people over the years have used color, and you have never heard a report, Mary Jane Smith was found OD'd in her living room with a color projector projected over her body. It just has never happened.
So can we use any kind of light bulb? Do different kind of light bulbs do a different kind of job? And also, when you say put in front of a color, if someone didn't get a machine, you're talking about getting those like clear colored plastic laminate kind of things?
That's correct. Those are called Roscoline filters, and they are a specific green. Unfortunately, it's dark now, but if you looked outside, you would see many different shades of green. So when we say green, that's a lot of colors, but these are very specific greens, reds, orange, and yellows of the filters that you have, and they cause various physiological effects. Now, before somebody in your audience is questioning how effective color is, there have been many instances where they went into jails and other places with violent criminals and put the pink color right in front of their eyes, and they become docile in minutes. Weightlifters can't even lift weights when this particular pink shade is put 2 inches from their eyes. So the color does have an effect, and in this book, Let There Be Light, it mentions the exact Roscoline filters. So people don't have to buy them through World Research, because this book, Let There Be Light, will tell you where to get these filters.
Okay. Also, I told you that I had a heart attack, and I'm using a holistic path. And so I'm making everything that I do available to my listening audience as I go along with, you know, blood viscosity test, genetic test, the ECP, phosphatidylcholine. I'm just letting them follow my path. And so this is one of the things that I've chosen to use. And so if you don't mind, I would like to talk about, I had a massive heart attack back in September that involved my left ventricle. And
yes.
One of the things I want to use is this light. So if we could talk about how would somebody with that particular disorder use the light. My blood was too thick. I had significant clogged arteries for whatever reason. And a genetic thing, I think. So if we could talk about how we could use that way my listeners can follow along in the months to come and see how well it worked for me and maybe how it might help them.
So now, should we use a criteria? If we get you running marathons, will that be good?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to try to get you back in tip-top shape. Basically, how you use this color is you project the light through those filters onto your physical body without clothes for between 45 minutes and 1 hour. Now, you don't need to do it longer because think about if you fill up a glass with water, you can keep pouring more water into that glass. You're not going to break the glass, but the water is going to spill off the sides of the glass, so the more water isn't going to help. So imagine you would just use the color. You only need to do it for about an hour in a darkened room, and you sit. It's very, very easy, and it's so simplistic sometimes I think people overlook the possibilities. My father was supposed to be a quadriplegic, according to Kaiser Permanente and HMO, back in 1984. They did brain surgery, and the head of neurosurgery told my family that my father would be a quadriplegic. We used the same color filters that you have, 1 hour a day in the morning, 1 hour a day at night, and 3 weeks later, he walked out of Kaiser Hospital, and I would be very happy to show the hospital records what they said about my father. So the color therapy, you plug the machine or your light source, it's a couple cents a day, and when using that projected over the body, a person will find that there is going to be some results. So the secret is having the right color to cause the physiological reaction that you want.
So how would I decide which color to pick for my heart?
In, in that book, and this book was written by Dinshaw Gadali's son back in the 1930s. It is a book that lists 350 different diseases and illnesses. It tells you the very specific color that you would use for various health problems. And as an example, let's use yours in particular. And again, we're not diagnosing or prescribing here. I am just reading something that is in public domain. It is a book, and the book talks about when you have a problem with your particular heart, that you would begin with a lemon color, and this lemon color would be projected over your chest area. So, again, this is for nobody else. Your listeners would have to be somebody in particular that we would be sharing with, but you have given me permission to share with you, and that's what I am doing, Eva. You would start with this lemon color. Now, again, what we are saying is that the color is changing or altering the physiology of your body to bring it back to stasis or balance to allow your own body to heal itself. That is the beauty of color.
So does it matter when I do this? And it talks in here about nostril breath and about heart rate.
Well, this man, Dinshaw, was a yogi from Tibet. And what he has in this book is, if somebody wants to be an absolute purist, there are certain forecast times during different parts of the day where vibrationally it's the best. But I can tell you, I have used this color for 35 years, and I have never gone by any forecast times or any particular times of the day. If somebody has a health problem, they need to use the color now, and so you don't stand on ceremony. His nostril breathing, again, he was a yogi. I have never used that, and I have personally worked with more than 2,000-3,000 people, so I have worked with animals. The secret is you need a darkened room with the color is going to fall on the body and not be dissipated by ambient light. So it is very, very easy. You will note in the book, and in my book, And Nothing Happened, a little girl with third-degree burns over two-thirds of her body was brought into Philadelphia Women's Hospital in 1926. This color system was used on her, and after 1 hour, she never had pain again.
That's amazing.
And her skin completely healed without any skin grafts.
So do I have to hold this machine directly over my heart, or can I just be bathed in it, the light?
Well, you can be bathed in it, and some people would actually put it on a tripod, which if somebody has a device with a little tripod, it's easier. But with the little unit that you have, I would place it on a table and kind of angle it down so that it would be projecting over your chest area.
Okay. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Did you get?
I was going to say it's interesting that when you use this with animals, which goes to prove that this is not psychological. When you use it with animals, they seem to really know and appreciate that light, and a lot of times they will curl up into positions themselves so that they're bathing literally right under that light.
Well, I can promise you that's what's going to happen here, because I have a little dog, and he doesn't leave my side, so it'll be interesting to watch him. Another thing first of all, talk about that nostril thing, if you know anything about that. I thought that was very interesting, just to learn what your nostrils can tell you, the way you breathe. Do you know anything about that?
Well, yes, of course. This is a very important yogic principle, is breath. And if you think about it, how long can the human body go without food? How long can a human body go without water? But when it comes to breath, breath is everything. And if you think about it, when somebody is going to lift a lot of weight or you're going to make an exertion, Eva, what does somebody do? They take that real deep and then they go. And what happens when you want to slow your whole body down, when you want to be very, very quiet so nobody can hear you? The breathing gets very low. The breathing is in conjunction with what is taking place in the body. But even more so, the breath and your thoughts are so much in unison that the yogis, of course, if they want to start calming somebody down mentally, you start working with that breathing pattern. Now, Dinsha realized as a yogi that the breathing altered either too high or too low was one of the things that was leading to these problems. More than likely, when somebody's heart goes, you will find that either weeks or months before, their breathing was very greatly altered. I have been in areas where I can hear people around me huffing and puffing, and they're just in a restaurant or they're walking. It's because their physiology, their body is really overloaded and they're working too hard.
Yeah, I can relate to that. I really can. So is there anything significant about how you breathe between your right or left nostril? Am I asking?
Well,
that
is automatic, and it's so funny. I can remember having a discussion with my father about 30 years ago. My father was an engineer for Lockheed Aircraft, and I was starting to investigate in this field. And I made that comment to him about how the nostril breathing changes. And I remember he really got at him, and he says, "Oh, come on, that there's just no way." Well, science, medicine has shown that you have cycles, and you're in the nostrils, the tissues will swell, they expand or they contract at different parts of the day, and you actually have various more air coming and going through different nerve passages through the body that are connected with the left nostril and the right nostril. If somebody is getting a cold, if somebody is having health problems, they will find that this natural rhythm, and it is a natural rhythm, becomes altered. And then very quickly after that, a day or a couple days, is the onset of a physical health problem.
That's very interesting. Really is. Okay, my next question is...
By the way, that only been known for the last 2,500 years, so, you know, what did the Chinese know, right, and India?
Yeah. It's just very interesting, and I'd never really even thought about it. And when I looked at this book, in some other book maybe, or something on your website maybe, it made me pay attention to what was happening in each nostril and how I felt when it was happening, and it made a whole lot of sense. Okay,
It's very profound, and we have a smugness and arrogance sometimes in our medicine here, thinking that we know it all and we have it all, and meanwhile these other systems have been around thousands of years, and they're very, very profound.
My next question is, it talks in this book which way you should lie or lay down when you were doing the treatment. Should you face a specific direction, and should you lay on your back or your side or your stomach, or if you're trying to treat both sides, which way do you lay?
I think it depends on what the physical problem is. If you look historically at various cultures in the East, they would tell you that having your head basically facing the north from a vibrational standpoint is much better. But once again, with this color, let's keep it very simple. That isn't that necessary. I have never done that, because if somebody is having a problem, and by the way, I give quite a few lectures to medical doctors who at first are very skeptical, but there is so much information on the use of color that I think people would be shocked. A woman did a double-blind study at San Diego State University on the effects of color with 60 women with rheumatoid arthritis. And she showed that by using the blue color filter, that these 60 people with rheumatoid arthritis not only had a decrease in pain, but also in the swelling. And she only used the color for 20 minutes. If she had used the color for an hour, it would have been much more profound. So the color, when we're talking about various problems, Eva, there is at least 350 diseases and illnesses where the color can be used. And it is very simple. I want to keep it simple. Okay. Face the direction, sure. Ultimately, that might be good for a purist, but when you have a health problem, including swelling or some kind of acid reactions in the body, anything, you want to help the person. And basically, this is self-care. Switch on, switch off. You don't.
So the reason I asked was because the next sentence talks about if you lie on your abdomen, it reverses the body's electrical polarity. So to me, that sounds like it would be a significant thing, but it's not. We don't have to worry about that when you're doing this.
Oh, absolutely not. Again, you're talking about with a lot of different elements that exist in our world. You have purists. You have the way something ultimately 100% might be at its highest effective rate. But then again, this is an instance where very few people I have ever met have utilized that. And as I said, I have done this for 40 years, and I don't use the position. The color is everything, and a person's state of mind is everything. So you had mentioned about your book as you first led into your show here. Consciousness is everything, and I believe that we are made up of such a nature that if you see those colors, even when you're not using them, Eva, if you visualize those colors on the other parts of your day, you are going to have the same kind of effect take place.
You're right, Steve. You just got to remember you're talking to a lady with a background in litigation, so too analytical. I get myself in trouble with that all the time. So then let's talk about...
It can be a good thing, but at times when it's about your health, it's best to do the most natural, easy things. For your religious people out there, God's covenant was the rainbow. And it just may be that the rainbow of colors is such a beautiful, incredible healing modality for our bodies.
So should I, my next step, should I do yellow all the time? Because I see lots of diseases here, and I see lots of... taxonomy.
Well, you would want to go to section 65 through 68, where there's several different aspects. I don't want to go too much with the colors over the air because there's a lot of people listening, and I don't know if they've heard that, again, this is particular for you, and we are not prescribing for somebody else who has this problem.
And I'd also like for you to talk about just a few minutes. When somebody is trying to use this book to treat an illness or use light to treat an illness, how important it is to not treat a symptom and find out what the root cause is. How important
is
that?
The root cause is everything. I mean, this is why I believe that the therapies used in this country for cancer are ludicrous. They're insane. Why would I say that? Because just bombarding the body with chemotherapy and radiation without ever getting to the cause of why an individual body has this problem is plain stupid. And therefore, when you just asked this question, this is exactly what people should be doing. This is exactly what our medicine should be doing if it wasn't so weak. What is causing this problem? Because if you don't really know the cause, to try to work on something is foolish. So it is important to have a good diagnosis of what a problem is. I'm not questioning the great diagnostic possibilities we have in this country, and that's where I would stop using a medical practitioner, is because if they can't tell you why you have it, then why would you listen to them? Why would you even give them a consideration? So to bombard the body with some kind of therapy, even if it's a complementary or alternative one, when you don't really know the cause, doesn't make much sense to me personally.
So if someone were using this book, it goes all the way from number one, all the way to 300 and something. What do those right. numbers mean so that we know how to use this book?
Well, those numbers are relating to 325, 340 different problems. You literally would go to the specific problem that you have, and there's a little number before that particular problem. Once you do that, you go to that number. Cardiac insufficiency is section 67. You turn to page to section 67, and it tells you the specific color listed A, B, and C. You'd use the first color for 2 weeks, the second color for the next 2 weeks, the third color for 2 weeks after that. The book will tell you why you're using that color, and the book gives little numbers of where to put it on the body.
Okay, so that's what those little numbers in parentheses are, like A, lemon 22 systemic front.
When you see lemon 22, you immediately go to your book, and you look at, let me get that for you. You look at page
15, I think.
You go to page 38, and it will tell you why you're using it. Number 22 works on persistent disorders and dissolves blood clots. And then the little numbers after that will tell you what part of the body to put it on. The numbers that are not in brackets tell you what part of the body you're going to put this color on, because in the front of the book is a little skeleton on page 15. So this book tells you why you're using the color, where to put it on the body. So I am not diagnosing or prescribing. This book is in public domain, Let There Be Light, and it is so simple that, yes, even a caveman can use it.
So where can this book be bought? And this machine, approximately, if somebody wanted to buy it, I mean, it's affordable for the average person.
It's very affordable. Again, I want to stress, my intent in this foundation and being on your show is not to be selling items. It's to be informative. The book is available if someone wants. Our World Research is a nonprofit. If they would like to buy the book through us, they can. The book, Let There Be Light, is available on Amazon.com if somebody wants to. This little color unit with the slides and the book, I believe, is $90, and it allows somebody to be assisting their body. Now, we are not telling anybody not to do something. I'm not telling anybody to not take something. I am saying that a wise person looks at all their alternatives and decides what is the best for them.
So let's talk for a few minutes about your book. We've got about 15 minutes left, and nothing
okay.
happened. Can you tell my listeners, what is that?
Well, yes, I have been in this field for about 40 years. I consult for government agencies. I give lectures for doctors for continuing education credits. I have been all over the world. We have found many, many different techniques and therapies for different diseases and illnesses that have not been in use. I'll give you a very classic example. We mentioned this Rife microscope. Here is a microscope 10 times more powerful than what they're using, and it's not in use. And I'm going to be very blatant here. It's not in use because it's not a pharmaceutical, and you use physics, and the pharmaceutical industry does not like that. We have another chapter in my book. It is about Dr. Bjorn Nordenstrom, chairman of the Nobel Assembly in Sweden that selects the Nobel laureates every year. He discovered shrinking women's breast cancer tumors with electricity with no side effects, no chemotherapy, no radiation, no side effects. Chairman of the Nobel Assembly. He is the discoverer of needle biopsy used everywhere in the world. But when he came out with this technique in the 60s, basically the medical people in the United States completely have ignored him. I flew him from Sweden in 1984 to make presentations in America. The doctors here said, we don't have time to learn anything new because it's not chemical, it's electricity. He went to China. 2,500 medical doctors in China have cured 12,000 patients using Dr. Nordenstrom. So the book has 14 different items like this that if I was a person ill, I would demand that my medical practitioners or the government allow these type of things into our medicine and stop the stranglehold of the pharmaceutical companies.
Could you also talk, well, you know, we've talked about the
G-strophanthin.
Because I think that's the most amazing thing for people with heart disease that I have ever...
Oh, yes, absolutely. When I was in my office in Stuttgart, and we have offices around the world, my staff people brought me to Dr. Kern. Now, Dr. Kern was a physician during World War II in Germany, and his job was to do autopsies on soldiers who were killed. Now, basically, the soldiers were 20, 19 years old, 22, and even though they were killed by gunshots, he was required to do autopsies. He found that some of these young boys had occlusions or blockages in their main heart arteries up to 95%. But young people don't get heart attacks. So he started investigating and discovered that it is not, you do not necessarily get a heart attack from a clogged main artery. That is an absolute misnomer, and that has been proven and written up in several medical journals in the United States. One of them is Circulation Magazine. You actually have more blood going to the heart when your main arteries are clogged because the blood goes through something called collaterals. Those are the side streets. You have more blood. So why do people get heart attacks? Because the pH in the heart muscle changes, and they literally have a blowout there, which is what causes, for 90% of the people, a heart attack. Now, I am a layperson. I am sharing medical information, and any doctor who has any question about this needs to read several important articles that came out not only in Circulation Magazine, but in the American Journal of Cardiology. And in the American Journal of Cardiology, they reported in 1988, Eva, that in the advanced state of narrowing of the arteries, more blood is found in the heart through collaterals. So that wasn't Stephen Ross. That is the American Journal of Cardiology's report. Strophantine is a little pill from Africa. When you take it, it balances the pH in the heart in less than 10 minutes. and the person does not have a heart attack. The studies, there are thousands of studies on Strovantin G, but this little pill, which only costs $3 or $4, again, is not in use in this country, and that is a shame, because nobody has died of a heart attack ever who has been on Strovantin.
And they did a, I think I recall, a study they did on the coal miners.
Yes, the coal miner study was truly remarkable, because during a period of 2 years, 1972 to 1974, there were 229 miners who had chest pains. They brought them up out of the mine. They had to drive them 2 hours, and 11 miners died because they couldn't get to the hospital. Now, in 1975 to 1980, they put Strovantin down at the bottom of the mine. There were 280 painful situations, and not one miner died. Not one miner died of a heart attack. There was no toxic side effects. And generally, for the people that have been studied, there have been studies in Stuttgart using 20,000 patients. Very few ever had a second heart attack once they were on Strovantin.
Do you have any idea if there's any, there's another name for that in this country, right?
Yeah, we call it, the researchers would look at that and call it Ubane.
O-U-I-B-A-N-E. And do you know?
And so that is one of the more technical names. Now, I will tell you, too, that the Armed Forces Institute of Pathology in the United States and our U.S. government mapped out the thousands of collaterals that fill up with blood when your main arteries are blocked. So, you know, on a radio show like this, we're kind of putting a lot of data out there, but I want people to know that there's more science behind here than they would think.
Do you know if this is, if people are able to purchase it in this country?
There are some doctors who have just started that, but generally the little pills, you have to have a doctor in it, and generally it was coming from Europe. I understand that there are some gutty doctors now in the United States. I'm using the word gutty because they must obviously care about their patients, that are trying to make this more available. I'm not going to endorse any doctors here, but if the people want to contact us, we'll give the name of the G-Strovantin. And as you're aware yourself, Eva, there is that possibility of getting it. I mean, really, this is why I wrote my book and nothing happened. Why aren't these things available? Why is a technique from the Nobel chairman of the Nobel Assembly not available? Why isn't a little African herb not available, but you pay thousands of dollars for all these heart contraptions? People need to really be aware that there are things out there that can help them.
Well, I want to say this one thing. Now I'm going to give you 4 minutes to say whatever you want to say. When I had my heart attack back in September, and I'm not going to say who it was or where it was at, but this doctor comes into my room the night after I had my heart attack, and he went, okay, we've done one stent today. Next week we want to do four. Next month we want to do a bypass. Then we want to get you on the heart transplant list because you are a perfect candidate. I went, no, thank you. So a couple of weeks later, I had to go back because I had some, you know, those chest pains, I forget what you call them, that aren't real. You know, they just kind of fool you. I forget what you call that. But anyway, I went back to the ER, and then I went back to the hospital, and this doctor comes in and does a second cath on me. And she looks at the notes of the original doctor, and she said, I'm not going to do any more stents. I'm not going to do a bypass. And I'm certainly not doing a transplant. And I went, well, why did he say that to me? And she said, Eva, sometimes people have to put their kids through college. Now, you've got 4 minutes to say anything you want to talk about, because I know there are other things and nothing happened that we didn't talk about. You can talk about whatever you want to say.
Well, you're very sweet. Thank you. I think I want your listeners to know that in my book and in the foundation, we have a tremendous amount of options for their help. But I'm going to kind of leave the book for a second, and I want to talk about how important our mind and our thoughts are. I want to share with people that the possibilities of what we can do as individuals with our minds, with our thoughts, with our prayers, with belief, with faith, is as strong as any other possibility. I want to share a very, very quick story that I heard Paul Harvey do many, many, many years ago. Maybe it was 40 years ago. He tells the following story. A doctor at Harvard Medical School was making the rounds with 10 interns. They came to the bed of a man in a coma who was ready to die any minute, and they were going to take over the bed, but the man's heart was so broken up, was so bad, that they felt irreparable. So this doctor comes with the 10 interns, puts the stethoscope on the patient and says, "Wow, now I want you to all listen to the beat. Now listen to the wholeness." Well, the 10 interns each put their stethoscope on the man's heart in the coma, and they said, "Oh, yeah, we can hear it." Well, the man did not die that day. The next day, he wakes up. 3 days later, he's walking around in the hospital. And 3 weeks later after that, he's checking out when this big Harvard doctor says, "Oh, my God, man, you are a miracle. You are a miracle." And the man said, "Doctor, what are you talking about?" And he said, "We expected you to die." And the doctor said, "There was no hope." And the man said, "Doctor, that's not what you told me." The doctor said, "What did I tell you? When you told me how whole my heart was and 10 other doctors agreed, I thought I was okay."
Wow.
Now, this is not a joke, and this is not a made-up story. But my point is, when you really think about it, not only did he think he was okay, his heart completely rectified itself. So, Eva, what I want to share is our thoughts, our beliefs, what you voice is the strongest bomb that exists. And you can do it for other people through love, by sending your love and your desire. And I'm going to give a little secret here. You see your loved one who is ill in perfect state of health. Don't look at your partner. Don't look at a member of your family with the problem they have. Visualize and carry a thought of them in perfect and absolute health. And that is the strongest healing bomb that exists.
Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome.
One of the most powerful verbalizations I believe I've heard in a long time. So please tell us again where we can find you quickly, because it's 9:00 and we need to get off the air, but I want them to know how to get to you.
We can be found at www.wrf.org. It's World Research Foundation in Sedona, Arizona, 928-284-3300.
Thank you so much. I'm so honored to have you on my show and so honored to have you as my friend. And good
night.
Well,
thank you, Eva, and I appreciate you allowing us to share with your listeners. So you have a good evening and best wishes to your listeners.
Thank you. Good night.